Hey, good evening, everybody. John Henry Soto here along with George Batista, and welcome to Counterparts. This is a special show. We're doing an update show. Very excited because we have a lot of announcements to make. We're going to be talking about our guests coming up, some of our past guests, and we have some special announcements that I think are going to be really nice. They're going to be really nice. I think knife. I said that already, so I was repeating myself, and I was like, well, what do I do? All right, you know what?
Special.
How about we just start the show?
Ah.
All right. So good evening, everybody. Welcome to Counterparts. My name, like I said, is John Henry Soto, and as always, is George Batista, directly from Cell Block 18 at Rikers Island. It's always great that they let you actually do this show once a week. It's nice. It's good.
Solitary confinement.
Yeah. I mean, you have a great cell, I tell you.
Yeah, I tell you. They let me pack it up with books lots of things.
You must do a lot to get that stuff.
Yeah. Anyway. You better stop.
All right. So this is actually one of those. It's weird because George and I have always, we've had guests on. And, you know, it's today we're actually, we don't have any guests on. We're the guests, but we're going to be giving a lot of information about what's happening. First of all, we're gonna pay some pay tribute or tribute.
Tribute. We're gonna pay. Who passed away?
I think we're off. I'm off anyway because I'm used to having.
John needs a guest. We gotta get him a guest.
We'll have a guest next week. We're gonna talk about next week's guest because that is awesome, and we're really excited about next week's guest. But right now, we have a sponsor that we have to give some love to. So, George, why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
Yes, the Counterpart Show is brought to you by Wellness Resources, my favorite supplement company, by the way. It's a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why Wellness Resources supplements are the top choice of health-conscious individuals around the world. Go to myvitaminresource.com, and if you enter the promo code Counterparts, you will receive free shipping on any order. So don't forget.
Cool. Awesome. Yep. Great company. Thank you to them. So like I said earlier, we have some stuff that we want to talk about. Now, we've been doing this show now for about a year and a half. And the show has gone through some different evolutions. It's gone through different stages as far as its appearance, its structure, and of course its format. Although its format has always been George and me and talking, so the format is rather limited on online stuff, right? But the format has been shifting to guests and to provide value for an audience. That's one of the things that we really decided. I don't know if we decided it early on, but it was something that kind of it developed through time as we were doing all these shows. We realized, you know, these shows are providing value. And I think, because I know I'm getting value from the guests and I'm learning a lot. And it's also one of those things where you feel like you're doing something worthwhile.
Exactly.
You know, and you have a purpose. And so the purpose has shifted a little bit to more service, more value, more content to help people in general. So George and I talk usually after a show. We'll talk sometimes for probably too long after the show, just discussing the show and moving forward and what we want to do and what worked, what didn't work. And one of the things that we came up with was the fact that we have individually, we have value that we do on our own separate from Counterparts. And then we were like, well, why don't we bring that to Counterparts, right? And that came with the evolution of spotlighting film, music, and nutrition and health, right?
Right.
And so what I'm going to do right now is, well, first of all, I wanted to show a couple of things, right? This is what, so this is some of our branding that we're working towards right now. Everything is going to be under the Counterparts umbrella. We want to really emphasize that to everyone, that Counterparts Show is what this is. This is the Counterparts network, if you will. And we want to make sure that people understand that when you come here, you're going to get things from nutrition, things in the creative field. You're going to get amazing guests in all those fields. And we will also, at some point, we're working on it right now, putting together trainings to go along with this, where people can actually log in and get a webinar based on some of the things that we've talked about. And then the future is incredible. I mean, and the possibilities of this are endless. You know, I mean, we can do so many different things on this. And especially because we've met so many great, amazing people. That's that right. Have not only have they been incredible guests and really, really sweet with us, but they've maintained a relationship with us. They've maintained connected. They themselves, you know, have said to their own organizations how much fun they had being on our show. And that to us was great. I mean, when you have a guest say, this is great. We had a guest. What did she say last?
She said this was her quote was, this was the best interview experience I've ever had.
Right. I mean, we were like, holy cow, really? You're like, us?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Just little us, you know, two freaking Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, two freaking Puerto Ricans from Bronx. So we just, we are thrilled that that's the results that we're getting and that people are so happy with the being on the show. So we want to expand on that, but we also want to be able to provide more content. So we're keeping our Tuesday night live. You know, you're going to get always on Tuesday nights, you're going to get a wonderful guest. And, you know, you may get us talking every once in a while, once every couple of months, to give an update or something. But generally, we can pretty much book from now to a long time, right? We have some organizations that we're working with, some management organizations that have a lot of guests. So shout out, first of all, to the promotion people for being so, so amazing with us and sending us some great guests. We also, Pendar PR, and they've been fantastic. They've given us some great guests, and we have more coming up with them as well. So we have this wonderful network of people that we're putting together. One of the elements that George and I have always been passionate about this show is the health aspect of it. George and I, when we were kids, we worked out. Like we had he had a gym in his garage, and we spent money on weights, and we had our belts, our weightlifting belts, hanging up on the wall, like we were Lee Haney wannabes. And we had Lee Haney on our show, which us at the time, growing up, we were idolized that man. You know what I mean? And so to talk to him was a pleasure. And so we love health and fitness, you know, and we and then George grew up to be, incredibly knowledgeable in that area. And he is certified wellness coach, and he has tremendous insight into nutrition and into supplements, which we mentioned, the company, our sponsor. I'm going to flash their, our sponsor again. Why is that our sponsor? You know what I mean? It's because that is part of the value that we want to give to the audience, right? Because we care, you know? And so we decided, and George actually was doing, I'm talking for you now, George. I'm going to turn it over in a second, but
okay, sure.
Give me a second. But George was doing a podcast, a nutrition podcast on his own for a long time, and a very successful one. And so we've actually integrated the podcast into Counterparts. And now the show, you can watch it here right on our page. You can watch his show. He'll have guests as well in the future. He'll have you know, all the nutritional stuff. So I'm going to turn it over to George for a second so he can talk about the wellness talk and then talk about some of the things that you will be covering moving forward.
Absolutely.
And let me just say one more thing.
I knew that was coming. I don't know. I knew that was coming. I grew up with this man, so you don't get surprised by anything. So anyway, so just a little backstory. So yeah, John is correct. I was doing wellness talk. You know, I've been doing it for a long time now, and I kind of stopped for a while, and then I started up again when the pandemic started, because I wanted to kind of give people an alternative to look at, you know, different ways to keep yourself healthy through the whole pandemic, because I think that was very, very important. And because of that, it did very well through the 2 years, you know, through that whole pandemic phase. So on the show, I've had some guests already, and those of you who are interested in checking it out, you can take a look at some of the interviews. They're on our pages as well. They're on on YouTube, on counterparts.com, and as well as YouTube, you can check those out. And actually, I'm going to put one other one that I did that's not on there, which is the owner of Wellness Resources. I'm going to put her up on there as well, because we had a great conversation. So, but I've had doctors talking about vitamin C. I've had all different types of stuff like that. And then, of course, my show is, you know, pretty much comes out on Sundays, and it's the latest in health and nutrition. So I go over the latest studies on supplements and health and nutrition and how they, you know, how they affect the body and what the new studies are saying and the new science. So it's pretty cool, but I try to do it in a very simple way so the average person can understand it and can implement it. You know, so that was kind of my goal, again, of providing value and showing. And I also talk about the stuff that I've done in my health journey, because I had my own health journey and all the things that I went through to kind of clean up stuff I was dealing with. So that's part of my story. So, you know, that whole thing is to, you know, to show you this is what I did. And, you know, so you guys can try this stuff because I've done it and I've worked with people, you know, many, many people to help them. And then I wanted to do it on a massive scale. So that's why I did this. So that's why the show exists, is to provide as much information as possible to you guys, so you can not only enjoy the information, but use the information. And then moving forward, I'm going to, you know, I plan on having a lot more guests on as well. All different from, you know, all different types in, as far as the health field goes, whether it's chiropractors or other nutritionists or, you know, stuff like that, and medical doctors to talk about all different types of stuff. So I really, you know, again, I think it's going to be very, very informative for you guys. And then on, like John said, also the goal, one of the other goals is to have webinars on nutrition. And my thing is I'm going to do, you know, maybe we're going to pick some topics, whatever the topic is, and then I'm going to talk about it, and then you guys can join in and actually ask questions. You can ask me questions, pick my brain about all different types of health stuff, and I'll try to answer them as best I can. And I think it'll be a nice interchange between myself and you guys. John will be there as well. He can ask his questions as well, and we'll just have a nice conversation. So that's what's coming up. I'm very, very excited about it, and I think you guys will get a lot out of it.
Absolutely. And you know what, about picking his brain, it's great to have him as my cousin, because I do, whenever I have any question about anything, I text him. Like yesterday, yeah. I was like, we went out to the lake with the kids and everything for, like, you know, Father's Day kind of a day. And it was Juneteenth also. So we were celebrating that. So we were out there with the family, and it was hot. You know, I'm in Tennessee right now, in Nashville, and today was 99. Wow. Yesterday was like 96 or something. So it gets really hot here. So we were at the beach and I got a little burned. I don't know if you can tell, my nose is a little bit of a Rudolph thing going here, but I got burnt. And then, so I was like wondering, I was like, huh, I wonder if, because we're going to be living here, you know?
Right.
So I texted him. I was like, how much vitamin D from the sun is too much? Because my nose hurt. And he gave me the answer, you know, that's really the benefit of having a show like this and this type of platform, where you can go somewhere and you can ask questions and you can have, you know, solutions to certain things, you know. Exactly. Somebody wrote, I don't know what that really means, but Percy Priest is the lake that we go to.
Oh.
Yeah, so that is that's our new place too. I mean, we love it there. I mean, it's literally, I think, like 8 minutes away from us.
Oh.
And it's this beautiful lake, and so we end up spending a lot of time there.
Percy Priest, that's what it's
Percy
called?
Priest.
See, yeah. If you would have said that to me, I would have said, "So when are we getting tickets to see them?"
Amazing band. yeah, but it's a beautiful lake, and we have a great time there. But anyway, having that resource is really important. So, you know, consider this Counterparts as your resource for a lot of nutritional mm-hmm. questions. And you can reach out to us also at Counterparts. What's our email address?
Email.
You can actually email me because that's the only one I have on here. Yeah, just email me, johnhenrysoda@protonmail.com. If you have any questions, I'll forward them to George. Yep. We do have a email, though. Isn't it Counterparts?
It's counterpartspodcast@gmail.com, right?
Okay. So do we have are we using that one? I thought we had counterparts@proton.com.
Well, that's the one I established.
Okay.
Though so you could actually use that too. You can also email like counterpartsshow@protonmail.com. We should actually, we'll put that up there later. But, and yeah, feel free to email me as well through there.
Yeah. So, basically you can contact us through all social media platforms as well. So we're all,
or you could also just go on the website, during the contact form and just fill out the form, send it, and one of us will get it.
There'll definitely be a way of contacting us with any questions, but yes, so that is that portion of the show. It's going to be called Wellness Talk. And that's going to be just a lot of fun to be able to interact with all of you on those needs and really to give you answers and to give you solutions and to, you know, an alternative to things. You know, I think that's really the key element of this, right?
Right.
Next. So some of you might know, or maybe you don't know, but I am a filmmaker. I've made I don't know what's on my IMDb now, but I think it's about 10 films at least.
Wow.
That are mine, written, directed, cast. Some of them I shot myself, which was not easy. I edited one out of those. Most of the other ones are, no, I think I edited a few more, but
Porky's Four
was one of my huge hits and crazy. And I know people said I shouldn't have made it in 3D, but I think that it's important. So that has been part of my life since 2007, 2008, when I really started diving into film. I didn't really get in front of the camera till like 2010 or 11. So it's only been about maybe 10, 11 years. It seems like a long time because I did so much during that time. So I did a lot of in front of the camera, and then I got interested behind the camera, and I started seeing what directors were doing and how they were interacting with the cast and how they were pulling performances out of actors. How they were blocking. Blocking is the sort of the choreography that happens on a film set where a person has to walk towards and you have to stop at this mark and all those things you learn and you're like, wow, okay, I didn't know that was such a, like, you really have to go and stop because you will not be in focus if you go past it or if you go, you know, if you stay too far back. So there's a lot of these little things that I learned being behind the camera. And I wanted to do something, and I have been doing that for the last couple of years. I go online, and I've done shows on films. I've talked about films. I've done webinars about films. I've done a lot of different things about. I've done trainings also for. I did a kids workshop in New Jersey for 2 weeks, where I taught about 22 kids filmmaking, which was a ball. It was so much fun. It was hard, but it was a lot of fun, and the kids really were amazing. And I had a great time. So that's something that I also wanted to dive into as well. So we were kind of going back and forth. Okay, so that's a value that I can provide that I could bring to the table as well as movie reviews. You know, I don't like to be a movie critic. I don't like even like that word.
Right.
But I do like to talk about films and break them down a little bit. You know, it's like I don't like to talk about acting per se, like. I feel that my character was based in it. You know, I don't want to go into that, but I do like talking about the techniques that go into developing that character rather than having a person, you know, I mean, again, anybody can talk about whatever they want.
Sure.
But my point is that I like to break things down to find out why that worked. Because there's certain things, like I was just watching, it's just funny, just on my timeline on YouTube, it came up where it was a review for Goodfellas with Siskel and Ebert. Remember Siskel and Ebert?
Oh, yeah, of course. Guys, yeah.
So, but they were like the guys that were that would review films for years and years. I mean, 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. And those were the guys we watched. You know, they would kind of bicker sometimes, which was kind of fun.
Right.
They both have left us, unfortunately. But they left us with all these great reviews of films. And they were reviewing Goodfellas for the first time, a film that I've seen now, you know, 100 times, you know what I mean? And it was just crazy to see them reviewing this film. And they were both spot on. You know, I mean, they both said this is going to become a classic. This will be one of his best films. This film is beautiful to watch.
Right.
You know, the scenes just capture you, you know. And so the fact that they were so, you know, broke down Goodfellas in such a almost like a poetic way, the way they did, to me showed exactly what I love about film. You know, it's like, why was that scene so effective? You know, like, how am I funny? How am I funny? Why was a scene like that so iconic? You know?
Right.
And I love to talk about things like that. Raging Bull has a couple of those scenes that I love. Neil Simon has films that I've broken down just by myself, sitting there watching and going back and being like, oh, that's interesting how this they connected that. And Neil Simon, Prisoner of Second Avenue, a classic film. The Goodbye Girl, another classic film. Richard Dreyfuss on that, which I believe he either won an Oscar or was nominated for an Oscar. He might have won for The Goodbye Girl. Jack Lemmon in Prisoner of Second Avenue. Just classic performances like that, that for me are emotionally electric for me. Like when I watch these films, you know, I try to like visualize my writing in those types of forms, you know, in that with that energy. So that's what I want to bring. I want to bring that conversation to the audience and to all of you, and to have you really talk about films. And I'll have other, you know, in my head, I'm envisioning two or three different filmmakers on the screen together and all talking about one film and breaking it down in their way. Even a film that maybe they didn't like, you know, why didn't you like it? You know, I saw Siskel and Ebert review Casino and Roger Ebert loved it and Gene Siskel hated it. He was gave it a thumbs down. And they were really at odds. Because, you know, he was saying, well, I've seen these characters before. And the guy said, no, this you have not. These are different. It's different, you know. And I think I would have loved to see them review The Irishman. I mean, that was like, the only thing I thought about was like, I wonder what they would have said about The Irishman. You know, because to me, it's such an epic film, you know. But that's what I want to do. So I put something together. And because we have a theme running through the show that maybe people don't know, George and I are Rush, the band Rush fans. George is a Rush fanatic. Like George is really, really, like, it's like a disease. It's an illness.
Yeah. You know, instead of thrush, I have Rush.
Yeah. And there's no cure, I assure you.
Yeah. That's your fault, by the way, just so you know.
It is my fault. It is my fault. And I'll tell that story real quick, too.
Yes, we should.
But this show is actually infused in Rush mythology, in Rush emotion.
If you will.
Yeah. Because the name Counterparts come from their album that was released, I think, in 93, I believe.
Yeah.
93. Yeah. And I love that album. The first song is Animate. If you guys don't, I mean, it just starts off with like, dum, da, dum, dum, dum. I mean, when we first heard that, our hair, right now, my hairs are like, but anyway, we love Rush.
Yes.
And I'm going to talk about this, and then I'll go back and I'll tell the story about why this is actually an attachment to that.
It is.
Counterparts is an attachment to that story. So anyway, this is what I'm putting together here for everyone. It's called Counterparts for the Love of Story, and it's called Moving Pictures. So Moving Pictures was an album by Rush, which I believe it was early 80s, maybe 81.
I think it was about 80, 81.
Yeah, something like that. And one of my favorite albums, of course. Actually, I don't think I really had an album that I didn't like as much. You know what I mean? There wasn't. I mean, people could say, you know, I don't know, Presto maybe. But I love Presto.
I love Presto too.
Because people, when you hear conversations with people, you'll say like, "Well, I didn't really like Hemisphere."
Right.
And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah. You didn't listen to it right.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, and I had somebody not long ago say they didn't like Roll the Bones.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what are you? I was like, to me, Roll the Bones was when they kind of came back to like the heavy, heavy riff guitars. You know what I mean?
Like, you're right.
I mean, I was like, you crazy. But anyway, so obviously we like Rush. And the reason was years ago, many years ago, I was visiting my mom, and my mom had this big apartment and she had an extra room. And sometimes she would rent the room out to people, you know, people in the neighborhood. And there was this one dude that rented the room once. And then he left, he moved his stuff out, but he said, I don't want that box. And the box had all these CDs in it. And my mom called me and said, you know, I don't know if you want these, it's all these CDs. And of course God, I mean, you must have been 16 or something.
I was older than you.
So I'm old at this point. I'm like probably like 19 or 20. Right. You were maybe about 15. No, I think you were younger than that. I think you were maybe like 15. Maybe 15 or 16, because you started playing the drums. We were already
at 16
when you had your first drum set. This was way before drum sets.
Yeah. Right? Maybe 15 or 16, I would say.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And so she gives me this box, and I grab all the CDs. In there is Moving Pictures by Rush, and The Who was an album called
Who's Next?
Who's Next is in there by The Who. And there was some other ones in there that I can't even remember, actually. But those two, I remember I put them on, and I was like, blown away by the drums. I was blown away by the sound. It was a CD, so it was still, you know, it was CD era. And I was just completely, I couldn't believe that this was happening to me. I was like, why don't I know this? And I've been listening to music and for a long time, but why don't I know this? You know, and I thought the song was called Salesman. Remember?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, there's a song called Salesman by Salesman, because he says that in one of the songs. But, so I took the CD and I showed it to George. All hell broke loose.
So you bring me this, and I remember this because you actually had, they were wrapped in this brown
paper bag.
Brown paper, like, and each one was like in a different layer. So you had to kind of unwrap each one, I remember. And I remember you saying,
yeah, because they weren't in the case.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I remember you saying, you know Rush? And I was like, who? Now, mind you, I have no idea who this is. Yeah, Rush. And I'm listening to, you know,
Kenny Loggins,
Barry Manilow, and maybe, you know, actually, Poison, I love both of those artists. Yeah, whoever, and you know, some of the artists of the time, right? I'm listening to like Motley Crue and on the R&B side, like Bell Biv DeVoe, you know, but you know, because my taste
he had the record.
Yeah. So he tells me, and now keep in mind, I'm watching these rock drummers, you know, play and simple stuff. So he says, you have to listen to this. And I'm like, all right, whatever. He puts it on, and you put on Tom Sawyer. And I had no idea a human being could play this way, but I had no idea a band could play this
way. At the time, we didn't know it was only three guys.
Yes. Yeah. I thought it sounded like six guys. I'm thinking
it was like six to seven guys.
So my jaw dropped and I was completely blown. And that right there changed my life, completely changed my musical life, changed my music listening life. And that was it. It was done.
Yeah.
It was done. I mean,
Then we go to, I know what you're going to tell.
We haven't done it.
Some of the
stories.
I know. Go ahead.
We need
this
to
is the perfect opportunity. We're
right. We're here, right?
We're telling people also about.
So this is a class.
The genesis. But this is
show. And this is all part of why we're doing this show, because this is all comes together. Because remember, yeah. John and I are cousins. We grew up together. So these are this show is almost like a combination of experiences that we've had. Correct. So we after buying all the Rush albums and I didn't have a lot of money at the time, so I bought a lot of them in tape form. And learning all of them within a span of like 3 to 6 months, we hear that they're coming to Jones Beach, New York. Now we're both in New York at the time, so we go crazy and we say, let's buy tickets and go see them, right? So we sure enough we buy tickets, and I had a which was my first car, which was an orange 1980 Chevy Chevette. That was completely rusted on all the bunch bottom. Of sides. I think I bought it for like $500. And the floor of the passenger side was completely rusted through where you could actually, there was a hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to throw gum wrappers through there.
Exactly. So we decide we're going to go to the show in that car. To Jones Beach, which is like an hour and a half ride, 2 hour ride. Okay. Yeah. So I'm driving and John, poor John, the heat is coming up from that hole.
Yeah.
So
the heat from the engine used to just come in through that hole and my feet couldn't take it. I was literally getting burned. So I would have to put my feet on the dashboard and just ride all the way to Jones Beach. Hour and a half. I'd have to take breaks every once in a while and bring my legs down so the blood can go back to them. But that was how we made it there. I mean, and then.
Yeah. So, and keep in mind that the car wasn't exactly the most reliable. So the whole time I'm crossing my fingers that the car's not going to get stuck on the way.
Man, I was so nervous. You know,
back then there was no AAA, there was no cell phones, there was no nothing. So if we get lost or stopped, we're done. So the car makes it to Jones Beach. We park in the parking lot and I have the tickets with me. And I think that I just give them to you.
No, what happened was in order for us to get into the parking lot, you had to show the tickets. Now you gave me the tickets.
Correct.
I had them in this little blue bag that I used to carry around like a dork. Cause I always carried a fanny pack. It wasn't a fanny pack, but it might as well have been, but it was a little tiny blue bag. And I remember the bag. I used to always put my guitar, if I had extra guitar strings, picks, right. Whatever was in there, and I would put all the and then I put the tickets in there. So I had them in there, and this was when you could take bags into facilities. Right now you can't do anything. You gotta strip down to your underwear to get in. So I was so we're getting there. The guy who's letting us into the parking lot has to see the ticket. So I opened the bag, I showed the guy the tickets, and I put them on the bag there, but I didn't close the bag or anything. I just left it open. So I get out of the car and we get onto the line, right? We got one.
It's a long walk from the parking lot to the actual line and everything, and then to the actual theater. It's like a freaking 20-minute walk. It's ridiculous, yes. Right?
So we're like super excited and we're like, ah. So we get there, I open the bag to get the tickets cuz I'm thinking, okay, I got to get the tickets, and I don't see one ticket.
Now I'm thinking, but he's joking.
I did notice that the bag was opened. My heart fell to my chest. Now, because I'm a clown,
yeah,
because I'm a naturally born idiot that likes to play jokes on people. He's laughing, thinking I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm like,
and I'm doing, and of course I'm an actor too. Even back then, I was like, dude, I'm not kidding. I don't know where they are. I think I dropped them in the car. So he noticed that I was serious when I left the line and just started walking.
Yeah, and the sweat just started.
When I started heading towards the car back to where we parked. And as I'm running, now he realized it. So I'm looking around. And some angel dude, wherever you are, sir, if you ever hear, this was Jones Beach, early 90s.
Roll the Bones tour,
Mr. Big opening for Rush at the time, Billy Sheehan on bass. He comes up and he goes, hey, did you guys lose three tickets? Because we had three. We had an extra one that we couldn't get somebody to to we couldn't give it away. I was like, oh my. And I was just like, I thanked him so much. And we got online and we got to experience something that till this day, George and I still talk about as one of the highlights of our lives. But we did get to see. I know people were waiting to see.
We did get to see. We had ground seats and everything. Yeah,
we had great seats.
Yeah, we had great seats. I mean, we were standing up pretty much the whole time. But
yeah, well, nobody sits at a Rush concert.
That's very true.
Why are you doing that? But we were standing there, and you know, they give you a program, and they give you a little program. And so I had my program, and George was so excited. He literally crushed it. He crushed it so hard. He was like, by the end of the show, it just looked like
it was like a playbill type of program.
Sweating,
and the thing was like this thin. Yeah. It was like,
and we felt this. And we talked about this. We felt physically sick.
Yeah.
It was because it was so draining for us. Rush just is so. They were so incredible at how perfect their music communicated. And that's really the main thing about their music for us,
right,
was the communication behind it. The lyrics were incredibly powerful, written by the late Neil Peart, the greatest drummer ever, you know, maybe Buddy Rich and Neil. And of course we've had some great drummers on the show, and some great drummers, you know, I mean, but I'm sure that they would go back and talk about these guys just as mm-hmm. we talk about them now.
Exactly.
You know, just the lyrics were great. The vocals matched. The guitar, Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, Alex's guitar, incredible, very, very precise picking. You know, people don't realize what a great, and they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, finally.
Yeah.
You know, it took a long time, but they finally got in. And you know, and now they're almost like towards the end, they were like almost bigger than ever.
Yeah.
Those mm-hmm. last 10 years of Rush were the biggest years for them. You know, another thing about Rush, and we're going to move on, folks. I promise. We're going to talk about
them. We could do a whole show on them. Huh?
We really could. But the one thing that, that people don't know about Rush is that they were always filling up stadiums.
Yes.
Even when George and I had no idea who they were, mm-hmm. through all the 80s, they would still go, and there was this loyal audience to Rush fan. A Rush fan is a very special kind of human being. They're very, very unique. They're very, some of them might say they're kind of nerdy, like George and I, possibly. But they have one thing that a lot of bands, I think, might put out at the beginning, but they were consistently loving each other and enjoying what they were doing on stage throughout the whole thing. I could name some bands now that are still out there doing it, and I know they don't like each other.
Right.
They're doing it because it's a successful band. They want to give the audience, a show. Money always comes into play, obviously, but those guys were to me the best. So anyway, just to summarize, Counterparts show is very inspired by our experience with the band Rush. So if you see things like the show, it's called Counterparts. It's one of their albums. My segment is going to be called Moving Pictures, which is one of their albums. So moving forward, we might do a couple of things, mm-hmm. you know, Rush related. And of course, you know, always talk about, Star Trek. that was another thing that we love too.
Yeah, we love Star Trek too.
We love Star Trek too. Yeah. So we're dorks. Listen. That's not the point of this. But so let's move on here, because we kind of went into a little bit of a thing there. But I think it's important to let people know where the genesis of this whole thing came up. You know,
exactly. Why
did we come up with Counterparts? We were talking about Rush all the time. So it's like, oh yeah, duh. You know, we looked at album names and that seemed to be the one. So let's go on to the last thing here that we're going to talk about. Man, George, we've had some amazing guests. I mean, I can't tell you how some of these guests have made me and George feel as far as giving us an opportunity to interview them when they really don't have to, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have now our second Rock and Roll Hall of Famer on the show. We've had legends on the show. We've had incredible singers. We've had incredible actors. We've had filmmakers, nutrition doctors. We've had incredible doctors on the show that are like literally changing the world,
yep.
you know, and we've only been doing this a year and a half. So George and I really look at this as this is our calling. This is something that we're really meant to do. George and I we've always had synergy when it comes to like music, when it comes to like the kind of music we like, you know, films, comedy, mm-hmm. humor has always been our sort of thing. And it makes sense that this kind of thing has drawn us into this type of thing. So, but anyway, I want to, you know, get your take on the guests and what we've experienced.
You know, it's funny because when you start, you know, and we started this thing, I had no clue that we can actually get it. And it's interesting because it's really in all naivety, right? Because I'm like, well, let's see if this person can come on. And they say yes. And I'm like, yes, they actually said yes, you know? And I think, you know, and the momentum started happening when you're like, holy cow, these people actually want to sit and give of their time to talk about their experiences, to kind of give life lessons. And I think at the end of the day, they're coming on the show, I think because they see the value that we're providing, right? It's like, for example, I'm a drummer, you know, I've been a drummer for over 30 years. And if somebody comes to me and asks me, hey, George, would you like to talk about drums and try to inspire other drummers to, and show them tell them what you went through in a band. I'd be like, of course. Yeah, of course, I would love to do that. And kind of we do the same thing. We want to bring folks on to talk about their story and how they got through those obstacles, right? And the mindset that they had to have in order to get to where they are. And then in turn, we can show other folks, hey, these folks did it, even going through all these things. And this is, they're kind of, we're almost kind of putting writing our own book, really, like a whole book with all these guests in it. And they're each giving a piece of themselves to say, hey, look, this is what we did and how I did it. And you guys can do it. And look, John is putting a picture of a lot of the guests that we've had, you know, on this show.
Yeah, and there were more, obviously, can't fit all of them on here, but these are some of the more recent ones that we've had on. And I mean, you can go, and the experiences that we've had here, I mean, we had, you know, David Sanchez here, who was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the E Street Band. You know, we had Doc Watson here, who's, you know, toured with the Police and played with Alicia Keys. And we had Lee Haney, you know, Mr. Olympia, 7 times in a row, one of our idols, 8 times in a row.
8 times, yeah.
8 times in a row. One of our idols growing up gave us the time of day, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we've had professional business people and fitness trainers and amazing drummers. Kenny Aronoff, legendary drummer, who's been on more than 300 million records sold. Dee Dee Pfeiffer, fantastic actress, you know. Mm. I mean, we've had the pleasure of interviewing these people. And not just that, but they're so giving of their experiences,
right.
And some of them have gotten really personal, and a few of them had said, you know, I've never told that story.
Exactly.
Which is like, wow, really? You've never told
About how many times they have been interviewed,
right,
you know, in their career, but yet they picked this time to tell a specific story, you know?
Right. And I think it's because of the format, because I think George and I have created a very laid back environment where it really is a conversation about life. It really is spotlighting the journey that they have, but at the same time interjecting our own experiences with that and kind of sharing that with the audience. It's a really comfortable environment because that's what I would like to be in.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I get invited somewhere, I don't want to be in a stressful environment, you know, I see sometimes on, and I think we kind of almost fell into that trap a little bit where we're giving, I don't think we did it with guests, but where we have like, all right, five questions, you know, lightning round questions.
Right, right. So, right.
And I'm like, nobody wants to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah, let's just have a conversation about what did you do when you ran into an obstacle? You know, did you have anybody in your life that was trying to prevent you from moving forward? How did you overcome that?
Right.
You know, these are the lessons that I think can help not only artists, but just people in general.
With anything.
We're all on a journey. We're all walking through life, you know, and we all have these obstacles. So the joy that we have right now is, you know, and that George, I have to tell you, you know, I'm super impressed with George because George, when he asked me originally to do this, it was we were thinking about talking about Star Trek, which we did in the early days. We and then we just started realizing, you know, we just have so much more to offer. I feel that it's almost not fair. To be able, you know, we have so many opportunities, you know, let's expand it, you know. But when he came to me, you know, he wasn't sure. He's not on camera. You know, he hasn't been on camera as much as I have. You know, I'm a ham. I'm a talker. I don't shut up. And so for us, it was, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll start with the talking and then you'll. And now George is like right in there. You know what I mean? He's right in there. He's doing it. And the thing that impressed me the most was that he on his own was reaching out to people. And, you know, you may say, you know, is being naive and kind of, but I don't think it's that. I think it's really sincere integrity, sincere interest in wanting to have conversations with people that matter to you. Oh, sure. And when you put that out there, people feel that and the sincerity behind it.
Right.
And I think that's why people came through. And now that we have a little bit of leverage because we've interviewed some big names, you know, people want to be on the show because those people that were on had such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
They can see it. They can see our energy and our flows. And we're really just chilled out guys. You know what I mean? And I think that to me is the reason why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, just a quick interjection there. If you think about it, all this, you know, and I think I had mentioned it once before, is basically just a continuation of the conversations that we've had when we were kids.
That's true.
That's really what it is.
That's true.
And the only difference is now we've got another person in the room joining in.
Right.
And we're getting their ideas and we're bouncing it off each other on the show.
Right. Right. And George and I could have, I mean, you know, probably the only one of the only person on the planet that I could have a conversation with about something really, really mundane for hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like literally we would talk about a drum set.
Yeah.
Or we'll talk about snares.
Yeah.
We'll talk about a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, a sound. You know, and just dive into. I mean, we got into Led Zeppelin almost at the same time also. And I remember telling George, yeah, and like every such an idiot. And I remember saying to George, in your room when we were listening to a little cassette, I think I had Led Zeppelin 4 probably,
right.
Stairway. And I said, man, and every song I've heard is good. I said, every song I've heard so far is good, you know. And but that's Led Zeppelin, you know, every song is good.
Of course.
You know. And so, but yeah, that's part of the reason is, you know, we've been having these conversations for a long time.
Yep.
And we're blessed now that we get to bring these conversations to, you know, everyone that's watching. I do want to also sincerely thank everybody that's taking the time to watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really appreciate it. If you can share and subscribe to our YouTube channel, that would be even tremendous. We don't say that enough. It's one of the things that we lack is that we don't say what's the lines again? Share,
like, share, and subscribe.
Like, share, and subscribe. We don't say like, share, and subscribe a lot. We should, obviously. But I think that we also, that's also not our personality to be like, please like, theater, you know, I mean,
hey,
you know, I always say the same thing. I always say, if you like this show and you want to see it and you want to get updates and you want to follow what we're doing, behind the scenes and booking our guests and on the other stuff that we're doing, just follow us. You know, we're on social media. I'm on pretty much all social media platforms as my name, John Henry Soto. Counterparts is on, we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram. YouTube, we're on Instagram. I think we're even on Twitter as well. So thank you, Matthew
Sabat. Matt Briggs.
Thank you, Mr. Matt. Appreciate you. That kind of support, you know, really means a lot to us, especially because we are only on here live for 1 hour per week, but during the week, you have no idea how much back and forth we're going on setting up the show and emailing the guests and creating the episode and then going over the what we're going to ask and the content. I mean, we're kind of getting it down to the point where we're, I don't want to say well-oiled machine, but we kind of feel more confident now than we did.
Right.
But, you know, we do appreciate it tremendously. You know, I want to do a quick announcement about next week's show because we're really excited. Next week, we have the legendary drummer. Speaking of legendary drummers, we have Mr. Steve Smith is going to be on the show. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, the drummer for Journey, of course. There he is holding his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame award. I mean, you know, what can we say, you know? And I am, you know, this is part of the excitement. You know, these are all the people that we've interviewed. We've all heard and seen them way before. Yeah. I mean, I've heard Journey music through all our lives, you know, growing up. You know, David Sanchez playing with the E Street Band, and then
Kenny Aronoff.
And Kenny Aronoff, who hasn't Kenny? You know, we knew Kenny Aronoff's name way before we ever started this show. You know, and he's one of those guys that's like, he even says it, right? He's like the most famous unknown drummer or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He's like, maybe his name is not a household name, but
everybody knows him. Yeah. Everybody knows
his drum beats.
Exactly.
I guarantee you've heard his drum beats.
That's right.
You know, and so these are like guests, and now next week, Steve Smith has you know, been kind enough to agree to be on our show, and we're gonna be talking about all the stuff that we love to talk about, you know, the journey. We're going to talk about the journey and have a real conversation about that path that he was on and that he's on and his drumming. I just saw a video of him playing, like, I think, I don't know, 6 months ago or something. And I was like, what in the world? I mean, he's like one of the best of all time.
Oh, he is. He's considered one of the best of all time. I saw him live. And I was floored. I saw him, I remember it was at the Blue Note in New York, and with his band Vital Information. And wow, I was just completely floored. But the cool thing about that, and we talked about this a little bit last time, is that there is the connection to Rush, because he not only played. He was actually on the Burning for Buddy when they did the tribute for Buddy Rich back in the early 90s, and where Neil Peart from Rush actually put it together.
Yeah. But was Kenny on that?
Kenny was on that. Yes. Yeah. He was on that. Yes.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, right? But
we used to watch that.
Yes.
We
watched that
Burning video.
I had the VHS tape of that. I remember Steve Gadd was on that. Oh my God. But anyway, he was the one who inspired Neil Peart to go back and study with Freddie Gruber, who's a legendary drum teacher, and kind of, you know, revamp his playing later on in the years. I mean, think about it. You would think Neil Peart, when he was playing in the 80s, who was better than that? But yet he said, you know what? He saw
always
Steve
improving.
Right. But the story goes that he saw, and we'll ask him about it, he saw Steve Smith playing and saw such a massive growth that he said, I want to know what he's doing. And then Steve said, go study with Freddie. And that completely changed him.
Right.
So, I mean...
And, you know, changing the grip was a big deal, too.
Yeah, changing his grip in a different way. You know, but and learning just the flow of, you know, just incredible.
Right, right. Because, I think I saw a clip when of Neil talking to Freddie, and he was talking about, you know, it's not the
right.
It's this part.
It's
the part that's in the air.
It's in the air, the circular motions it's in the
that,
air. Right.
That part, not the hit.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I thought to myself, oh, that's very interesting. So we're going to have that kind of conversation next week.
Yes.
But with the man himself, Mr. Steve Smith, who inspired so many other drummers. And that's going to be a joy. So that's next week. I think we're going to sign off now. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Appreciate it. We appreciate you so much. Just know that we are going to be expanding. You know, our show, but not changing it.
Right.
We're just going to be providing more of content. The same stuff,
yep.
More of the same good stuff. And lastly, Thursday nights, sometimes we can't go, our guest is not available to do a live show. This is actually important. Sometimes they're not available, right? For whatever reason, they're working sometimes, right? They're on set somewhere. So we have, so we record them, you know, off the air, and then we air the show later. So Thursday night, this coming Thursday night, at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have, who is this going to be on again? Terrell
Rothery
is going to be on the show, a tremendous actress. And she's going to be, we had such a good time talking to her.
Yeah, she was fantastic. She's in many shows. Stargate SG-1 and Hallmark movies and all different types of shows.
Yeah, and recently she's on they're going to be filming season 4, I believe, of Virgin River, which is on Netflix. Really great show. She's on that as a regular. So she's going to be on Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to be doing that on Thursday nights as a show. It's going to air live. The only difference is that we're actually not going to be there to answer questions. So, but you know what? I might go on, and if somebody asks a question, I might answer them.
Why not?
Why not? So I might do that. So yeah, send your questions in. I'll answer them. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, George, as always. This was fun.
Yes.
I like doing stuff like this because it gives us an opportunity to really connect and to talk about what we're doing and give our audience something to think about and to know about. We'll see you all again next week with Steve Smith, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's on Tuesday. And we'll see you there. Take care, everybody. God bless. And as always, peace.